You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, and this is our latest look at the Philadelphia Phillies. And I'm joined by Todd Zielecki. Todd, since we last recorded one of these with you, Dallas Green passed away at the age of 82. Really sad day for Phillies fans. Obviously, you know, left a major imprint on this organization. Big, big personality. Guided the Phillies to their first World Series title. I'm not sure how well you got to know him over the years, but any reflections on his legacy in Philly?
Yeah, I got to know Dallas a little bit. I started covering the team in 03, and he was already in the front office as like a special advisor to the general manager. So I got to know him a little bit, certainly not as well as others, but, you know, everybody uses the phrase larger than life, and sometimes they overuse it. But in the case of Dallas Green, it really is true. It's almost the first thing out of anybody's mouth when they were trying to describe him, because he was 6'5". He was a big dude, and had a huge booming voice. I mean, you could hear Dallas, you know, here in minor league camp, spring training, you can hear him from two fields over when he was talking. I mean, he had this really commanding voice, and he's one of two people in Philadelphia history that can say they managed to a Phillies team to a World Series title. And so it had a huge impact, obviously, in the 1980 team. You know, he replaced Danny Ozark in 79. The players hated him because he was the opposite of Danny Ozark, who's the real players manager. But he got on these guys hard and repeatedly, and then they ended up winning the World Series in 1980. And then what you saw is all these players said, oh, man, he was actually pushing us. Pushing all the right buttons and got us over the top. And now it's funny, all these players like Larry Bowa, who at the time, you know, couldn't stand Dallas Green. I mean, Larry was really broken up over it the other day, and a lot of the players that play with Dallas Green were, because he was obviously a big part of their lives and just a big part of the organization. Really great guy, though. I loved talking to Dallas. He was so much fun to talk to. And what's great about Dallas is that he spoke the truth. You know, whatever he felt he wanted to say, he said. Sometimes he got in some major trouble over it, but he didn't care because he wasn't scared of anybody. And you know, today's day and age, I think a lot of people are understandably guarded talking to the press. But Dallas was like, I feel this. I'm going to say it. If I catch any hell for it, that's whatever, because I will gladly say the same thing to that person to his face. And, you know, that's what kind of made Dallas a character and Dallas beloved in a city like Philadelphia.
Yeah, one thing I've always heard about him, sometimes we say that the loudest voices aren't necessarily the smartest voices, generally speaking, in life. But in his case, that is not true. He was a loud voice and a very intelligent baseball man. So he will certainly be missed. As we're winding down here, just a couple days away from opening day, as we record this, it sounds like we're getting some clarity on what the opening day roster will look like. What's the latest there?
Yeah, the Phillies announced today that Adam Morgan and Joely Rodriguez have made the bullpen. So now basically the entire pitching staff is complete. Yeah, Jenmar Gomez is the closer. The other right-handers in the bullpen are Joaquin Benoit, Hector Neris, Edubray Ramos, Pat Neshek, and then the two lefties, Adam Morgan and Joely Rodriguez, finish out the seven-man bullpen. You know, the rotation has been set. The rotation's basically been set since the end of last season, or I should say once they acquired Clay Buchholz in a trade. It's going to be Hellickson, Buchholz, Eichhoff, Nola, and Velasquez. So, yeah, those five guys set up. And later today, Thursday, they're going to announce the final two bench spots. And I think Brock Stassi is going to be one of those guys with Daniel Nava or Jeff Valentin in the last spot. So everything's kind of being figured out. You know, the Phillies kind of like what they have in their bullpen right now. And they should have, I mean, they absolutely should have the 25-man roster finished before they leave on Friday.
Just because it's never too early to look ahead or think ahead, we've had a lot of articles on the site, you know, one for every team, just kind of looking at what the trade deadline might look like this year. And the Phillies could be a really interesting team in that regard. You know, just still being in this state of transition, as we know, it's not an especially earnest effort towards contention in the NL East. So they'll be a fascinating club because they have so many veterans on short-term deals. You wrote a bit about that, so what is the outlook for the Phils?
Yeah, I think in a perfect world, and that really never happens too often in baseball, but in a perfect world, you know, all these young players, you know, really start living up to the hype and their potential, and the Phillies kind of surprise some people, and they suddenly become buyers at the trade deadline. But I think the more realistic scenario is, you know, there continues to be some growing pains. Some of these young players in the big leagues and in AAA, they do what they're supposed to do. Some others get hurt. Some take a step back or kind of stay still. And then come the July 31st trade deadline, you know, the Phillies are looking to maybe deal a couple of these veteran guys for pieces for the future and also to maybe open up some spots for, you know, some of these prospects in the minor leagues. You know, like, you know, AAA outfield is going to have Roman Quinn, Dylan Cousins, and Nick Williams. If one of those guys or two of those guys are really playing their butts off the first 3 months of the season, you know, the Phillies might try to trade Michael Saunders or Holly Kendrick to give these guys the opportunity to play, you know. So Kendrick, Saunders, Hellickson, Buchholz, Pat Neshek, Joaquin Benoit, those six guys all on one-year deals, last year their deals, and you would expect the Phillies to try to trade them because might as well try to get something for them rather than have them walk at the end of the season and get nothing. So, like I said, if they're struggling a little bit, they're under 500 in late July, I would expect them to try to move some of those guys.
Buchholz has had some struggles of his own here this spring. Is that disconcerting at all? What have you seen from him?
You know, I don't think so. As a veteran pitcher, you know, he struggled certainly last season, early last season with the Red Sox and figured some things out. He's really just been kind of, you know, working on a few different things, working on his mechanics, working on a couple pitches here and there. So I really don't put too much stock into his struggles. You know, time will tell, obviously. His recent track record is not very good. So if that carries into the season, then maybe it shouldn't be much of a surprise. But, you know, I've seen enough kind of veterans kind of come in here and, you know, from going, you know, Cole Hamels, et cetera, that, you know, every year seemed to struggle in spring training and put together a pretty good season. So, you know, I'm not too worried about Clay Buchholz just yet.
Zoe, I gotta bring this up. We were a little worried about you after your harrowing hot dog tale, or reach for the hot dog and forgetting that you'd closed the window of the press box and banging your head against the glass. I just want to make sure everything's all right there. You've recovered and everything's okay there.
Yeah, everything's fine. I still have a little soreness in my orbital bone above my left eye. Yeah, but I will say this. I'm glad that was hurricane-strength glass in these press box windows here down in Florida, because if it was a regular pane of glass, I'm fairly certain I would have punched my head straight through it, because I whacked it so hard that people actually thought the Fanatic was firing off hot dogs toward the press box, and my head hit the window so hard that people thought the hot dog hit the window from the outside of the glass, and I had to tell people sheepishly that it was actually my head, and of course they figured it out when they saw blood running from the top of my eye after it happened, but I survived it and I lived to tell the tale.
And you lived to catch the next one, from what I understand, and then gave the next one to a little kid. I mean, you're a hero, though. You are a hero.
Yeah,
one and all.
I appreciate that. I did catch the next one, and I had enough common sense at that point, enough presence of mind to open up that press box window, stick my hand out, and I one-handed it, and then I dropped it to the kid below. So I kind of redeemed myself, but not really, because I still smashed my head into a window, which is not the brightest thing to do. And I if I could do it all over again, I said earlier that I absolutely would not try to do it all over again.
Well, as we like to say in our business, it's spring training for the writers as well. So, you know, we're all kind of feeling our way through this thing and get ready for the season. So you got that spring injury behind you and you're ready to go now for the regular year. And in advance of opening day, Zoe had a sit down with manager Pete McCannon. We're going to run that now. Take it away.
You know, Pete, before spring training started, you were saying that, you know, ideally, maybe possibly this team could be 500, maybe even be a little bit better than that. With what you've seen so far in camp, do you still agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. I know that two guys, Kendrick and Saunders, were additions to our team that boost the offense a bit. And although they have not had good springs in per se, I believe they're going to hit for us during the season and provide that extra offense that we need.
Yeah, offense is a big thing. Certainly the team finished last in runs last season. What have you seen? It seems like Matt Stairs has made an impact, at least in the sense that players are mentioning him in terms of him helping their swings out. What have you seen from him this season? How much do you think a guy like that can help?
Well, you know, a guy like, like, you take Altair, for example. Matt Stairs has talked to him about making a few changes. And you got to give Aaron Altair credit, because he listened to him and he tried it, and it seems to be working for him to shorten his swing. So, you know, the credit is all due to the players when they make that adjustment. But it's good to have some people around the coaching staff to, like, recommend a certain way to a certain approach to hitting or a certain approach to their defense and pitching and so on and so forth. So we've made a lot of headway in that department.
What have you seen from Mike Alfranco? A lot has been made about his approach at the plate and improving his approach at the plate. Have you seen that this spring?
In batting practice, he's working on a daily basis about staying up the middle and not trying to pull the ball so much. And it's easier said than done. When you take somebody out of their comfort zone, it's difficult to for that player to really believe in it and trust it. And I think over the course of the spring, you can see a gradual improvement from Franco, although lately he hasn't been swinging the bat that well. But you can tell by his approach and the fact that he's striking out less is going to lead to a big season for him.
Anybody else offensively that you've been impressed with so far that you think might surprise some people once the season starts?
Well, obviously, Stassi has made a great impression. Whether he makes the team or not remains to be seen. But Nava has given us a lot of good professional at-bats. Coughlin has looked very good. He offers versatility. Once again, Aaron Altherr has probably made the biggest adjustment and shown the most improvement of anybody so far.
The prospects that you saw early in camp, do you see some of these guys coming in and actually making contributions or have the ability to make contributions later this season?
Without a doubt, you know, everyone we've seen, including the minor league guys, have made such a good impression on all of us that we feel confident that out of necessity, if we need to call somebody up for whatever reason, whether it's an injury or a lack of performance by somebody else, we feel confident that some of those guys should be ready pretty soon in the season, so we have an opportunity to go to those guys.
What do you think about your defense? And last spring, it was, you know, Altherr if he was healthy, and then Peter Borges and Odubel. Great outfield defense. You stress that a lot. Probably not as strong defensively in the outfield. Are you worried about that? You know, how do you think you guys can work through that?
I'm not worried about it. I'm pleasantly surprised at the way Kendrick looks in left field. I didn't think he'd look as good as he does. He covers pretty good amount of ground. Last year we had Borges, who was a center fielder playing right field. I think we had more coverage last year, but as far as sure-handedness and arm strength and taking the proper routes, Saunders and Kendrick have done very well.
You know, last year you got off that 24-17 start, and the rotation was a huge part of it. Do you look at this rotation and see it being better than last year's, the same? I mean, what's your feelings on that?
Well, I'd like to believe that every player on our team is going to show incremental progress. I think if all the players show even a little bit of improvement, including the starting pitchers and the bullpen guys, everybody to a man, I think we're going to be in real good shape. And obviously, if everybody does that, we're going to be a better team.
What are you feeling about Aaron Nola right now and his ability to stay healthy and kind of get back to what he was? His first 12 starts last season, he looked like an all-star, and then his last 8 obviously weren't very good.
Well, you know, coming back from his arm situation, one thing that has impressed me and really I feel good about is his velocity. He's showing better velocity this year than he has even when he was pitching well. So it's all about command for him. His strength is his command of his fastball. And even though it's not where it needs to be, he's showing a lot of improvement with increased velocity. So you add that to, you add the changeup he's been working on to that repertoire, and it bodes well for him.
And then early in camp, you made a point to say, you know, Genmar Gomez is going to be our closer right now. Why was that important for you to make that announcement early, so early in camp?
Well, I felt that he earned that right, even though he had a bad month of September. You know, there was questions on whether he got tired for whatever reason that he faltered in September. He still saved 37 games and blew 6 saves. And I think he deserves the right to be our closer, because when you think about it, Todd, nobody else has really been tested. Benoit has closed for a while. Neris closed a few games last year. Adubre Ramos has the stuff to be a closer. In the event that Gomez falters, we have options.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.